appreciate the support of this church and seeing the vision of the deaf world. And we have enjoyed our stay here. We came a little bit early. We had a couple meetings in Toronto and just worked out this is probably, it was closer than anywhere else. And it's free camping. So we plugged in and it worked out good for us. I do appreciate you letting us stay. It was kind of short notice. But you pray for us on the road. Traveling sometimes is, it can be, not that it's hard physically, but sometimes you never know with traffic and some people on the road. And they say everywhere you go, there's going to be bad drivers. And when I left, my buddy said, "You are the bad driver. Thank you. Thank you very much." I never towed anything bigger than a wood splitter until I started on the road. And so my friends, they said, "Bud, you'll never make it." Thank you. But they know how to pray. Amen. They know how to pray. They know exactly what I need. But we are thankful for you letting us come by. And we've had a good time. And hopefully the Lord has worked in your hearts. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. And look at verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." So here we have a story of Peter, the apostle Peter, a big Peter. Now he was a fisherman by trade, probably a very able man. Peter was loud. Peter was outspoken. Peter was not afraid of controversy. He was not afraid to speak his mind. Very blunt, I believe that Peter was. And yet, when it came down to where his life was in danger, he melted like a little child and, "Lord, save me." You see, we know that Peter cut off Malchus's ear and he told Jesus Christ that he would go to the grave for him. He would die for him. And yet when his life flashed before his eyes, "Lord, save me," melted in fear. You know, lots of times, myself included, and other people, you know, we wait until the very end, until the brink of death, before we call out and ask God for help. We wait until the trouble is at its worst. We wait until the problem, you know, is bigger than it's ever been before. And then we call out for help. We wait until we're at the very end of our rope. And then we cry out, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Lord, help me. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your many blessings. I thank you most of all for salvation, sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Lord, I thank you that he took my place. And Lord, I thank you this morning that I can know for sure that my sins are forgiven. I can know for sure that I have a home in heaven. Lord, I pray if there's any here not saved, I pray you'll save them tonight before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray you'll take your word and apply it to the hearts here. I pray that you'll meet each and every need, both deaf and hearing. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Jenna. So, Lord, help me, or Lord, save me. Many times in this life, we need help. About 2 years ago, when myself, my family, we started to travel, and the Lord, He touched my heart, over here, touched my heart, and He said He wanted us to travel through Canada and find many, many deaf and teach them about Jesus Christ, show them the gospel. And so the Lord gave us a trailer. He gave us that trailer that's out there. The Lord gave us that trailer. And so, but you know, myself, I did not have enough faith to believe that the Lord could give me a truck to pull that trailer. And so, you know, I saved a little bit of money, and I was looking on the computer, and I found a truck, and so I went and I bought that truck. You know, and I worked on it, and I fixed it up, and I thought it was good, and it was nice, it was beautiful, and I loved it. You know, it was big, but it was not heavy enough. But anyway, so we started to travel through Canada, and I was on the phone calling preachers and asking them, we want to go to your church and talk to you about the deaf ministry. So finally, we had traveled all the way to Alberta. And we was driving, we stopped in Alberta, then we turned and we started to come home. We were in Alberta and we were driving and I started to smell something. Something was burning. And what's happening with my truck? I didn't know what was happening. And so I was smelling and it wouldn't stop. And then I looked in my mirror and I could see smoke just billowing in my mirror. And so, you know, I don't know what's wrong. Just going to keep on driving. I don't know what's wrong. Just going to keep on driving. And so I looked in this mirror. I looked in this mirror. And it's just billowing with smoke. Just billowing. It's getting bigger and bigger. But me, just keep on driving. I know I can't fix it. And so then I started to hear a grinding sound. And I know it's bad, but I'm in the middle of the highway. Keep on driving. I'm going to try and get to the next church. I can't stop. I'm in the middle of the road. And so it was grinding. It was so bad that a truck on the other side of the highway stopped. He was waving his arms at me. I just looked at him. I know. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And so we just keep on driving. Finally, my truck, it grinds and then it stops. It seized up. And so I yanked it and I got off on the side of the road there. Lord, help, what am I going to do now? You know, my truck is broken and you know, I can't fix it. And you know, what am I going to do? Lord, help. But I grew up in the country. I don't know how you sign redneck, but I'm a redneck or whatever. But so I stopped and I'm looking at the truck. I get out and I'm looking at the truck. How am I going to fix it? What am I going to do? I got an idea. My truck is a 4x4. And so maybe I don't even need the back housing. Maybe not. So I get underneath of my truck and I'm looking at it. And you got your drive shaft. You understand? Your drive shaft. I'm underneath the truck. And I'm thinking, maybe I don't even need that. So I get my wrenches and I take it off here. And then I go to the front and, you know, it's this long. And so I take it out and I pick it up and I put it inside the trailer. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to try it. So I get back in to the truck. Sit down, I hit the 4x4 button, and I put it in reverse, back up a little bit, it moves. Put it down and drives, go forward, the back end, the back wheels, it frees up, and I can tow again. And so I drove for eight hours towing on the front housing of my truck. And now we drove all night. We drove and drove and drove and drove. And I stopped at a church and there was a man in the church and he was a good mechanic. And so he looked at me. And he said, "Bud, that should never have worked." He said, "Your front hazard should have broke a long time ago." But hey, Lord help. And he came and he helped me. But hopefully I need to try that again. And so the back housing, it broke three times before I got home. But Lord help. Now, I was in the middle of a trouble, of a problem, and I needed the Lord's help immediately, and God came, and he helped me. I remember it was after that, we had started to drive home, and we were in Ontario. Is that right? Ontario. We were driving through Ontario, and I just forget where now, but it was at night. And so, you know, we would meet cars. And every time we met a car, it would blink its lights. Okay, and so then we met the next car, blink its lights. And so after like three cars blinked its light, I just thought, okay, it's friendly Ontario. I blink back. He blinks at me, I blink at them. We're just a friendly province. Hey, this is good. So he blinks at me, I blink back. Well, what I didn't know is that on top of the next hill, two big tractor trailers had crashed, and my side of the highway was blocked, and it was a blind corner. And so I'm just driving, blinking my lights, and I'm going up, and I arrived at the top of the hill, and there's two trucks had an accident, and it's blocked. Lord help. I just went over in the opposite lane. I don't know if there's any cars coming. What do I do? I can't stop. So I'm driving. I just drove by the trucks, big wave, and I just kept on going. Lord help. And we never met a car. Woo! Time and time again. Lord help. Yeah. Yeah. Pray for my wife. Amen. Amen. But Lord help. But you know, then I started to feel guilty. And God, he showed me something. He said something like, "Bud," he goes, "every time you're in trouble, you always ask for help." And the Lord, he showed me, he said, "When are you going to ask me or when are you going to ask God to help you be a better preacher or be or become a better husband, or become a better father? When are you going to ask God to help? When am I going to ask God to help me become a better interpreter, or a better deaf preacher, a better signer?" And so I started to look into the Bible. And I found that many times David asked the Lord to help him with many different things in his life. And so we're going to look at some of those things this evening. The Bible says in Psalms chapter number 12, verse number 1, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." And David, I'm not sure what is happening in David's life in that time, but David is searching for a man who loves God. David is searching for a man who is faithful to God. And he's searching and searching and searching. And then he says, "Lord, help. I can't find, men that love God. I can't find a men who are faithful in serving God." And so he asks the Lord for help. You want to know something tonight? God is searching for men and women who want to serve him. God is searching for men and women who will volunteer to stay faithful and follow him, no matter what the cost. And so we need to stop and sometime in our life and say, Lord, help me to be that man. Help me to be that woman. I want to serve God. I want to have a close fellowship with God. I want to be that faithful person serving Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. It is hard to find real men and real women. Real women. And I am thankful. I'm thankful that in my life I had many examples of real men. And of course, number one is my dad. My dad. My dad. He grew up in the country. He grew up in the woods, and all of his life he worked in the woods. You know, my dad. He's a tall man. You know, he's a big, heavy man, and he's strong. And so, one time when I was 11 years old, my dad made a decision to move to Halifax and to help an old preacher in his church. That preacher's name was Perry F. His last name was Rockwood. And so all of my dad's family laughed at him. They said, you work in the woods. He goes, how are you going to move to Halifax, a big city, and to help that old preacher? And my dad said, I want my family to know what it means to serve God. No questions. And so we moved to Halifax. And my dad, you know, big, he is sitting in a radio room and he's cutting. He's the pastor, he would make the video. And my dad, he would sit in the radio room and he would cut the tape. And so, and then the preacher, he would write many, many books, and my dad would sit there, and he would fold the paper. He'd fold the paper, and then he'd staple it together, and he would make the books. My dad, you know, that big man that worked in the woods, showed me that God can use any person who will volunteer. You see, what happened? My dad said, Lord, help me be that faithful man. Another one of my heroes is my preacher. He's my father-in-law. And he was saved. My father-in-law was saved. He was 20 years old. And he lived in New Brunswick. And he got saved. And then he started to serve in the church there. And he served for 20 more years. And so now he's 40 years old, and God touched his heart. Touched his heart. I do it every time. God touched his heart. And he said, you need to move to Nova Scotia and start a church. And so my father-in-law, he moved to Nova Scotia. He left all of his family. He left all of his friends, and he moved to Nova Scotia, and he started a church. And for 18 and 19 years, he just preached there, and he was faithful, and he saw many, many saved. And then 5 years ago, my father-in-law, he had climbed up on top of a house, and he was painting up there, and something happened, and the ladder moved, and it kicked out, and my father-in-law, he fell about 40 feet. He fell. And he landed and he broke his back. Been preaching faithful 18 years. And so now he went to the hospital and the doctors told him, you need to have an operation. And so all of the family, you know, rushed to the hospital. And my preacher, he's laying there on his back. And he says, hey, no regrets. It's okay. It's fine. And so he has the operation and the doctor told him, you're going to have to stay in the hospital. And so for 6 months, he stays in the hospital. He can't go to church. I'd go to visit him many times. He'd say, no regrets. It's okay. It's no problem.
And so finally, now, 5 years later, every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night and every time the church doors are open, my father-in-law is in church and he has to use a walker. But he gets up behind the pulpit and he preaches with the power of God. Why? No regrets. It's okay. I'm talking about a man who wants to serve God. He just volunteered and said, Lord, help me be that faithful person. Say, what happened? God answered prayer. Oh, it was hard, but what a great example for other Christians. You talk to my preacher, my father-in-law today, he'll say the same thing. No regrets. It's okay. Just serving Jesus Christ. You see, this world does not need to see more, if you will, famous movie stars. This world does not need to see more famous singers or more famous politicians. This world needs to see more men and more women who will volunteer to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is say, Lord, help me. But you need to mean it from your heart. Lord, help me. I want to be that man or woman. David said in Psalms chapter number 40, verse number 12. He said, my iniquities have taken a hold on me. So I cannot look up. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You see, David struggled with some sin. And boy, David hated that he had to struggle with sin. And so when he was facing that sin, David stopped and he said, Lord, deliver me. Please come quickly and free me from my sin. You see, every Christian, we're going to struggle with one sin or another sin. And so we need to stop and say, Lord, help me have victory over that sin. What's the Bible say? To lay aside every weight or sin that does so easily beset us. We can serve Jesus Christ. We can stay faithful, but not in my own strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, help me have victory over my sin. And say, Lord, I don't want to live wicked. I don't want to break God's law. I don't want a sin to control my life. I don't want to stay selfish. No, when the devil comes and tempts me, I want to know enough of the Bible that I can say, stop and show him the verses. And every time that old devil comes and he tempts us and we say no, and then the devil, he'll bring a different sin and we'll say a no again. And boy, that frustrates the devil. And if I can frustrate the devil, then glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Help, Lord, me to have victory over sin. David said in Psalms chapter number 79, verse number 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Lord, help me to give you all of the glory. I mean, all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the respect belongs to him anyway. But I volunteered and God is going to try to use me. But I need to remember to give him all of the glory. Without him, we are nothing. Give him all of the glory. Praise him in a public place, in a public place. You see, it's easy to come to church and to say amen and to sing these songs and to look like we're faithful. It's easy to come to church and do that. But what about outside of this room? What about in school or what about in our jobs? Do we praise the Lord? You see, we need to worship him and give him thanks. You know, we have opportunities to praise the Lord and to give him thanks every day. But many times, and it's hard to think this way, but many times we're so selfish that we just let it go. You see, when God blesses us and we know it's from God, we'll say thank you. But sometimes God uses another person to bless us. And we'll say thank you to them, but then it's thanks to God. Because every blessing comes from God. Help me give all the honor and all the glory to God. You say, oh, preacher, I've got wonderful skills and I can do things. If that is true, all of your skills is because God has blessed you. And God is waiting for you to use that skill for his glory. God does not want you to waste that talent in the world. Give God all the glory. David said, help me, O Lord, save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is your hands or your work. You see, God blessed David's life. I know there was sin and some mistakes were made, but God blessed David's life. You know, and David, he wanted all of his family to know it was God doing the work. David, he wanted all of the people in the church or the kingdom to know that it was God that was working. It was God. And so we need to remember that it's not about me. It's not about Silent Word Ministries. It's not about any of us here this evening. It's all about God for the glory of his name. It's his work. This church is all because of God. All because of God. And that's the message that I want to tell of people. It's all about God. You know, when we begin to give God all of the glory and give him all of the honor, and when we say, Lord, help other people to see Christ through me. See, that's the idea. God wants to use me. God wants to use all of you. But the idea is God wants other people to see his son, Jesus Christ, through your life, through my life. Lord, help other people to see Christ in me. Help me, Lord. Is the only time we ask for help for some selfish reason? Or is it every day that we want to find people and invite people to church and show them Jesus Christ? Is it all selfish or is it all about God, all about Jesus Christ? If we've never stopped and said, Lord, help me be that faithful man or that faithful woman, and help this world to see Christ in me. Now is a good time to start. God is in heaven, and God, he wants to bless your life. God, he wants you to have many, many, many rewards in heaven. But he's just waiting for me. He's just waiting for you to surrender and volunteer and say, Lord, help me. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I love church, and I hope that every person here loves church. But after salvation, you need to understand that is when our life begins. It's only the beginning. Salvation is only the beginning. It's after that that we understand how big that God is. And so I want to encourage you tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to encourage you tonight, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus and said, Lord, here am I, send me. Help me be that person to serve you until Jesus comes again. No, I'm so thankful for the ministry that God has given us. But you know, God could give you the same ministry. Or maybe God has another ministry for your life. But he's waiting for someone to volunteer. I know in this church, there are many, many ministries that need people to volunteer. And say, hey preacher, I'm ready. What can I do? What do I need to learn? Sign language, work in the nursery, clean the church. What do I need to do? You go and you ask your preacher, he will find a ministry for you. But we'll probably never ask the preacher if we don't first say, Lord, help me. If you need to do business with God, you come pray. Amen, preacher.